This hour is brought to you by Alpine Credits. Do you own your home and need a loan? Alpine Credits can help. Visit alpinecredits.ca to learn more.
I don't know if you guys got into it yesterday. I had to leave in the 6 p.m. hour, but did you get into the Cowboys defensive coordinator's press conference?
With the Tabasco in the eye?
Like, was that not embarrassing when he had to interrupt the whole presser because of his eye? He rubbed like some barbecues, like, I don't, it's just,
well, it's so typical of the team, right? Like, if that was someone with the Kansas City Chiefs, you wouldn't even bat an eye, pardon the pun. You'd be like, oh, that's a fluky moment, wow, man. But it's Dallas, everything goes south. There he is, Mike Nolan, up on TV, and he's doing his presser. He's got he's jamming his eye with his finger.
Yeah, and he's like, sorry, I put some Tabasco sauce on my finger and I rubbed my eye. And it's just everything's like the whole thing's on pause. And then I think he has to actually get up and take a break from the presser. And then he comes back and he's like, hi, I'm okay now.
Yeah. He should have come back with an eye patch. That would have been outstanding.
It was just like, you can probably tell everyone in the crowd was like, is this guy serious right now?
Yeah.
Like, this team's a tire fire. And this guy rubs Tabasco sauce on his eye socket. And by the way, Hayes, I know where he's coming from, because when we had that hot wing challenge back in the day, I did the same thing, and my eye felt like it was burning out of my skull.
Oh, I've done it as a child. I did it as a kid, and I still haven't lived that down. My sister's still a goof on me because I almost ruined our trip. I don't remember where we were, in Florida or something. Same thing. I was eating wings, and I guess I rubbed my eye, and I was a mess. Like, I was freaking out.
What the hell kind of wings is Billy giving you as a five-year-old? Suicide wings?
They were basically on the edge of heat.
Wow.
Yeah, and it was a sauce eye mishap, and I went down. But I was a kid. I was freaking. I'm like, I can't see anything. It is painful, but you expect it out of a child. You don't expect it out of a man who's about to step up to the podium to try to explain why his team is such a joke.
Well, where are you eating before you go up? Like, you just finished the game?
Been.
Like, that's the thing. Like, you hold on. I've got right after the game. You finish. You got to go do that.
Yeah, this wasn't on a game day.
It was a practice day, right?
It was yesterday. Yeah, it was yesterday.
So right after practice, he's chowing down and then got to go do media.
It was probably a film session. He's probably sitting there. And I guess, yeah, he must have been eating while he was watching it. I guess he got condiments around the place. Like, Tabasco is just readily available. Was it a packaged Tabasco? Do they even have packaged Tabasco? Like, Tabasco, I think, is something that is exclusively in bottle form. So, what, just have that kicking around your office?
Yeah.
Like, who's bringing Tabasco into the office?
He might be one of those guys who puts it on everything.
He must
be. Now, that wing competition, I remember that. Like, that's somewhere on YouTube, is it not?
Oh, yeah, it is.
Yeah, I wish it wasn't. Believe me, it is.
Why
not.
Why did it not go well? I can't remember.
It's bad.
He was Griff back in the day.
I was a monster. I'm in Andre the Giant's blue shirt. Like, this tarp cost $4.99. And we had the earmuffs going. It's awful.
There's some classic YouTube clips of our show. But I don't remember that one. Like, I remember
you weren't
there.
It was just me and Hayes.
But wasn't it our old update?
Patron.
Yeah, Andrea Patron. It was
Andrea
Patron.
Yeah,
Andrea. And Andrea won, like, easily. She was eating it.
She had no effects.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, you were soft as butter. Like, you,
dude, I couldn't do one. I took one bite and I was dying. And I told you that. I have zero spice tolerance. And then the worst part about it is we pumped the guy's tires about the wings. Hayes calls up there a week later, and the guy tells him to stuff it.
Yeah, that guy. I will never mention that guy's name. Never mention that restaurant, because it's a great spot, too, but that guy drove.
We gave him an hour and a half of free advertising, and then Hayes called him up. He's like, who is this again?
Yeah, he literally.
He's like, the guy you sat in front of for an hour and a half.
I walked in there to pick up a duffel bag about a week and a half later. And this guy looked at me as if I had just landed from the moon. Like, never seen me, couldn't care less. I asked him for, like, extra, you know, something. Like, and he's like, well, that's going to be an extra charge. Like, he charged me on top for, like, a, you know, Scotland. Complimentary amount of
don't lie.
Sauce
you thought
like
you
that.
Were getting the freebie.
Of course
thought,
I did. Of course I thought this guy, I just gave him a platform that was worth, like, a lot of money. Yeah. And I call up. you pay whatever. It is what it is. But I thought he might be like, hey, there he is. What? How's it going? That was a lot of fun. You know, not even, like, just give me an acknowledgement. I'm fine with paying. That's fine. Yeah. This isn't a quid pro quo kind of scenario. He came on the show. He didn't have to. He did. But at least an acknowledgement. Hey, how's it going? That was a lot of fun. That'll be $39.99 and make it snappy.
When you moved in with your wife downtown, did you move into her condo or she moved into yours?
No, we both got a separate spot, like, to begin the living together situation.
So you guys found one together.
Did you have to
I got to tone down the feeding and I can't let this woman see what I'm actually chowing on every night?
Yeah, there was a conscious effort to kind of adjust the routine, I guess. Yeah, a little bit. And she had different hours and she was working later. And
so you hid the feeding. I got to get this outside in the garbage bin.
There wasn't an evidence dispersion.
He's in the back alley, like eating pizza before he comes back.
Dummying a pie.
It's like a murder scene. I'm calling up Tony Soprano. Pauly Walnuts comes in to get rid of the chicken parm sauce hanging around the couch. We got an issue over here. No, I don't know. I guess I'm sure there was. There probably had to be. That's a big adjustment. That's the biggest adjustment you're ever going to make in your life in terms of a living. Although we all live with billets, you know, like that was very unique. We've all done that.
But you're living with, especially early on, like the bathroom situation, like that type of stuff. You know, you're mindful. And then a year in, you're like,
doors open, moose. It's like, come on in. Anything I can help you with? Besides plugging my nose.
Yeah. Here's joining us on the Maple Toyota Hotline, Ray Ferraro. Is it take you a year to get comfortable with Cammy? What was your how long in before you said, I don't really care if things are open, closed? It doesn't matter.
Not quite a year, I don't think.
Yeah.
But same the other way, too. Doesn't care.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Doesn't care. No.
Goes
you get comfortable
ways.
As you should. I mean, you're living together for a long, long time. But, like, that first couple of weeks, you're like, all right, we're still feeling it out.
First 6 months, you are blowing blood vessels out of your forehead, holding in farts. Because if you let that one rip on week one, you are a Neanderthal.
You're gone. Well, they give you a walk.
Yeah.
My buddy claims the loudest fart you'll ever rip is the first movie date, and you drop her off, and you're driving away, and you fart all the way to the end of the street. Because you have been holding... That's 4 hours of holding that in. And you are pulling away and you're farting for 3 miles.
There it is. The LeBron
chair. That's a 3 mile fart.
Yeah, it can be. The analytics on that would be fascinating to see some dude who has been working up a lather.
As soon as your arm goes up for the wave to a stop sign a mile down the road, you are just blowing gas. That's the longest one you'll ever do in your life.
Yeah, that's a fact. That's science, man. We wish we could dispute it, but we can't.
No, you can't.
That's just science.
Is outstanding.
Yeah, it's a different world. It really
I got to tell you, every day I come on here, you just never know.
There it is, Ray. I'm sure you weren't expecting that one.
Nope, wasn't thinking this was coming out of the box today.
No. Well, I don't know if this is a weird segue, but I was on, I think it was NHL.com, and they're starting to do fantasy stuff. And we had the whole conversation about McKinnon versus McDavid. It's happening in baseball right now with Mookie Betts versus Mike Trout, right? And recency bias is Mookie's the best, and then people are like, actually, Trout's better. Mookie's more entertaining. Mookie's more fun.
Well,
but
Trout gets
better.
Like overlooked because he's never in the playoffs. It's like
exactly.
Whoever the best player in the playoffs is like the best player in the game now.
But I think that happened with McKinnon and McDavid. Like McKinnon's
of course
a great player, great player. But I believe McDavid's better, and I believed it when McKinnon was still playing and McDavid wasn't. And I saw on fantasy, and this is a completely different analysis because it's fantasy, but some guy is predicting McKinnon will have more points than McDavid, and I'm like, there's no way. Like, I just don't see it. If they both play the same amount of games, McDavid is the smart pick for points. You can say size, McKinnon's bigger, maybe he's better defensively, for sure. I'll give you that. Points, let's not get crazy. Like, McDavid's the man, and he should be.
I can't take that. Like, I can't. I love watching Nate McKinnon, but I can't take McKinnon. I would take McKinnon third behind McDavid and Draisaitl right now.
Right, in points.
Draisaitl's on the ice with him all the time.
Right.
Yeah.
And Draisaitl's got the skill that he has. The guy got 120 points this year, didn't he? Or 110 points.
Exactly.
110, yeah.
Like, man, I don't know. I remember there was a time, like, who do you think's better, Messier or Gretzky? And you're like, oh, really?
Yeah, exactly. We love mess, but let's not get stupid here.
But let's not be, you know, like, and I feel, I mean, it's almost the same thing. Like, the power, the, you know, might push people to pick McKinnon over McDavid, but not, I mean, not for me anyway.
No, not with points. I mean, again, McDavid, right. McDavid's got to complete his game, round out his game. There are things that he's got to get better at. I mean, there's no disputing that. And he's never going to be 6'5", 220.
But, Brian, for fantasy points, even if he doesn't round off his game, I'm still taking him.
Exactly.
Well, it's the word points, fantasy, like points. It's and Ray, you're right. Like, Draisaitl had 110 points in 70 games this year. Like, he would have had 120 if he got to 82.
Yeah, maybe more.
Like there may be more, but, like, you're right. Like, if it's just flat-out points, like, Edmonton had, I believe, the number one power play in the National Hockey League. If they didn't, they were right there.
Top three, like, all year.
Right. If they weren't, Like, you're getting points through osmosis. Like, and you know,
I think it's the it thing to do, Noodles, is overthink it. And, you know, and I guess, listen, it's not like you're saying that
Freddie the Goat.
Yeah, exactly. Someone further down the line, like Ryan Strome, is going to lead the league in points or something. Like, McKinnon's.
Right.
McKinnon is number two for me in terms of the best players in the
world.
And
it's not that, like, I'm sure you watched it, Brian. He was next level in the playoffs.
Right.
That's why I picked him on that.
Well, and our
TSN free agent frenzy pick, I picked him at number one because I'm like, I don't know if there's anything better than this right now.
And you weren't alone, Oak, because he got the number one consensus pick. Like, 20 of us voted or whatever, and I guess at least 11 had McKinnon at number one.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
You know, I hear it. But I get it. But with points, I mean, it's gross what McDavid's going to keep
bias.
Doing.
It's recency bias.
I know, Jamie, like, but I'm not Bobby Mack where I do a coach's poll, but I talked to a bunch of coaches, and they're like, they would take McKinnon, and their other second pick was Hedman. They're like, just the power game and the total package. That's how I would.
Well, you can stick me. Oh, you can stick me with McDavid, then I'll be fine.
Yep, me too.
You know, like, to your talking to the coaches, like, they all have their reasons for sure, but if you're saying, yeah, you can't have these guys and I'm going to give you McDavid, I'll start my team just fine there.
Oh, no question. Yeah. I mean, no question. Yep. And there is, just like Brian said, it was because the spotlight was on him and it was just ingrained in yourself. You're like, oh, my God, this is, like, he was making plays and skating and shooting the puck where you're like, this is basically McDavid-like. It's better, powerful.
Game.
Yeah, it's incredible. Yeah. So whatever it is, I don't think the difference is too great, whichever way you want to go.
But it was impressive too. Like, you know, I know I'm the goalie hugger and bring it back, but if you look at it, like, Tampa was so deep in forwards. Like, they had at one point, you know, you've got Braden Point, who wasn't, and he could have arguably been the Conn Smythe winner, because I think people had him as number one. Halfway through the playoffs. Do you guys agree?
Yeah, it was him and Hedman, sure.
You're right. So you've got Point, Kucherov. Well, Stamkos was on the road to coming back. And then Hedman and Vasilevsky. Like, you want to talk about depth. Like, that's great players. Like, if you take McDavid and McKinnon and Draisaitl out of the mix, like, that team had probably three of the top five players in the game. Right there, Tampa. Like, and it started in net. Vasilevsky gets overlooked because you forget about the goalie, but he that guy played every second of the playoffs. Like, Curtis McIlhenny didn't
impressive.
Play one,
that
one
never,
second.
That never came up or didn't come up enough.
No.
Like, he never came out of the net.
No.
And there were back-to-backs and Vasilevsky. There were times, like, they played a five overtime game. They played multiple long overtime games.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I don't know about you guys. We can go around the horn here, but when you're looking at the Toronto Maple Leafs, and if they're watching the Tampa Bay Lightning, like, for the most part, the Tampa Bay Lightning, it was Braden Point, that top line. It was Victor Hedman, their goaltender, and other guys were chipping in. So the Leafs got to be looking at their roster, and obviously they're top heavy. But if Austin Matthews and John Tavares and Mitch Marner, who on the back end, I'm assuming it would be Morgan Riley, but if they can just go on a run and be the best players, then ultimately you have a chance. That's what Tampa Bay, they always say the cliche, your best player's got to be. That's what they got every night. Their best guys got it done for them all the time. And I'm sure if you're Toronto looking at that, you're saying, if our guys can do that, we have a chance.
Yeah, and but that's what makes the, don't you think, like the rest of that stuff this summer valuable to what Toronto was trying to do. Mm-hmm. And that's to, you have to assume the guys you're paying $10 million to are going to be really good. Like, you don't have a chance if they're not.
But not a chance.
Man, they dug around the edges of that roster all over the place. And you're like, they have to hope that they get, like, the Tampa contributions from those guys.
Yeah.
You know, like an Alex Killorn and Goudreau and Coleman scored a big goal in game six. And, you know, like, those guys all on the back end, like, you know, like Eric Chernak, like, you know, guys you don't think of first. But, man, like, if the Leafs can dig a little more gold out of those edge players, then you're looking at something. But then again, I guess, you know, leaving it to you, Noodles, is you get right back to your guy, you know, you call yourself the goalie hugger, and it's the goalie, right?
If you
get all that other stuff, then he's got to be that, too.
Yep.
You're right. And that's where, I mean, Brian, you're on record saying, like, that's the one position that hasn't been proven to you in the playoffs, correct? Like, just through...
With Freddie
Anderson?
Well,
not just that.
Freddie. Yeah, of course. I mean, it's indisputable, Noodles. Like,
right.
He has quite literally not won. Now, the whole team hasn't, but neither has he. You know, like, you think about the most revered goalies of the past 30 years here in Toronto. Felix Potvin, Curtis Joseph, Eddie Belfour, they all won rounds. You know, they all went to conference finals. Now, they may not be at the top of the list of the guys you think of. You think of Gilmore and Clark before you think of Potvin. You probably think Sundin and couple other guys before you get to Cujo, although Cujo was at the top of that building. But, yeah, quite literally has not won a round. So how can you be that confident in Freddie Anderson until he proves it? But it's almost like a lottery in a way, like you're just going to keep drawing numbers and hope that your number comes up. And in terms of going to the dance with talent, right? Like, we made the dance. We believe, is it inconceivable that Austin Matthews can play as well as Braden Point? No,
of course
it's not inconceivable. Of course he can. You know, he could do that. Now, I don't know if Riley can do what Hedman did. I don't think he can. He's not capable of that.
I don't know if anybody in the league could.
No, and that's where, again, with Freddie and Vasilevsky, I don't know if he can play like Vasilevsky. He's not as good.
Doesn't have to quite be Vasilevsky, but it's got to be pretty darn close.
Yeah, but the forwards can match what Tampa did, more or less. You know, they have the talent to match it. It's just a matter of whether or not it connects for 16 games over a two-month period.
Mm-hmm. It's health, it's good fortune, it's right. Doesn't it always? It always kind of comes together at the right time. Like, there was a point where Braden Point was. Remember, he was pretty banged up. Now, he actually missed a game or two. Now, what if that was a little worse? Tampa might not win. Right? Like, how are you going to replace him? Because you didn't have Stamkos.
Mm.
Like, you got to be lucky too.
Agreed. I was thinking about it too, like, who would this favor? Let's say does anybody believe we're going to play 82 games this next upcoming season?
No.
But is it conceivable we could get 60?
Yeah, give or take.
48 to 60,
mm-hmm.
You know, in that. And it's going to be a condensed season. Like, I think it'll be Ray and, like, what we did coming out of the lockout where it's, like, game on and you're playing 4 to 5 games a week sometimes and that. Who is that going to favor? Like, what team? Like, you know, is it a younger team? Is it a veteran team who can handle it? Like, I kept thinking to myself, if the Leafs play 5 games in 8 days, like, is Joe Thornton playing all 5?
I just think, Jamie, whatever team can hit the ground running. We saw the Boston Bruins, how they had the best record in the National Hockey League, and they kind of stumbled when they first got there. Then they kind of got – it's whoever pulls it together and just goes on a run. It's young, old. Everyone's saying, oh, watch out for Carolina. They're young and they're fast, and they got a lot of young players. They didn't last too long. I mean, they did good for them, but they didn't stick around. It's just who can do what Tampa does, whoever's best players do it every night. Ray, what do you think happens next season? I'm sure you guys must have touched on this yesterday.
Well, that – If it's 48 games, my remembrance of that first year is like we got behind the eight ball in New York and like we chased and like you can't make it up. Like if you get out like those first, I mean, in an 82 game season, the first 10 or 15 games, they of course they matter, but you can recover. If you get out of the gate 3-9-3, like you may never, you don't have enough time.
You're
finished. And everybody can do the math. Like the players, as we know, you do the math and you're like, oh man, we're sunk. Like this sucks. We got, how are we going to make up these points? So whatever team is the healthiest and, you know, gets a couple of guys that got out of the gates super fast, like they might get far enough ahead that pushes them right through to the playoffs. But then remember, by the time you get to the playoffs, it's a whole other story because everybody will have played 48 or 50 games, whatever it is, right? Like that'll be a whole different story. But for the season, man, those 10 or 12 games out of the box, man, that could be everything.
Yeah, that'll come down to, I think, how inspired you are. I mean, there's going to be a lot of intangibles. Clearly, you have to have talent. You've got to be healthy. Things have to connect. You have to be playing well, of course. But, you know, what kind of camp did you have? We talked about yesterday how guys – throughout the league, throughout sports, are probably thrown off a little bit in terms of how hard they're working during the offseason and how they're supposed to gear up for basically an invisible date. They don't know when they're supposed to show up, so it's maybe making it more difficult for them to prepare appropriately. So I think all of those factors are going to come into play. But as we've recognized for well over 100 years now, it's a totally different game in the playoffs, right? Like yeah. you gotta punch your ticket, and that's one story. But it doesn't mean that ticket's valuable in the least come playoff time because the game and the nature of the game changes. And with the Leafs, I mean, that's going to be the chat all year. The expectation will be you make the playoffs, but what can you do when you get there? And
yeah, it's almost at the point now with them, at least in my mind, is whatever happens in the regular season is all fine and dandy. But we're now, it's almost like to Tampa. We're now staring at game one of the playoffs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, that's what it feels like to me.
Yeah, I'm with you. And, like, the load management stuff we're talking about in the NBA, and we brought this up in the NHL, and it's more difficult to pull off because there's more parity. Like, more teams kind of get sucked into the middle. When the NBA, there's a separation of the top seven or eight teams, and you know it. You know the Lakers are going to the playoffs next year. You know that the Clippers are going to make it. But with the NHL... I do wonder if this upcoming season is maybe going to be the beginning of that new venture where they consider some load management, and they probably should. You know, if let's say you're Colorado. We just talked about MacKinnon. Colorado's a very good team that I think we all expect to make it, regardless of the division makeup, right? Regardless of where they're supposed
unless
to be.
Unless Freddie Frances is your guy.
Unless their goaltending falls apart, you know, which if that happens, then MacKinnon might have to play every single night. But if they're cruising and they're well on their way, why would MacKinnon play every night?
No
like, why would you do that in a condensed season?
Well, you have to break the mindset of that we've all had for 100 years, and that's if you're healthy, you play. You know, it's you know, it's a badge of honor, and you know, we have different information now. We have if you have cap room to have enough guys that you can spot guys in and out of the lineup. You play four games in 6 nights by giving a guy an extra day off. Maybe you know his bumps and bruises heal a little better. Like, yeah, absolutely. I would have my every team's got a sports science department of some sort. I would have
the hockey culture.
Sure.
It's so different. Like, I can remember playing with Ron Francis, who was older at the time. He was like 36, 37, 38, and it would be a tough stretch. And I think he always had the option to just not do the practice or not do the bag skate, and it's just you did it. Like, he did it. It's just like he didn't want to be that guy where, I mean, when you think about load management, how many guys have actually done that? You're talking about Kawhi Leonard. Who else?
Yeah.
I remember back in the day, the Montreal Canadiens used to send Larry Robinson to Florida because they used to be 100 points in front of everybody.
Yeah. And Detroit did it with Yzerman 1 year, too.
Right. So they sent him to Florida. He'd go to his horse farm, and the playoffs would start, and Larry would come back with a tan, and he'd play 30 minutes a night. But it was all wrapped up. They could do that, and Larry was, mm-hmm. But, I mean, I can't think of too many players that in the NHL that would even it would even be near the forefront of their mind.
But the problem with, and the problem is the wrong word, but there's so much parity in the league. Yeah. We've had a tough time defining who the best team in Canada is, like right now. I mean, we could legitimately say it's a six-way tie. We could make a case for six teams. So how are you going to rest on any given night your best player when that 2 points may put you out of the playoffs? Like that, your best player, like that is the, especially in a 48-game season. Like it's going to be, I think it'll go the opposite of load management because you add Ottawa as the seventh team who's not going to be an easy out now because they've added some veterans and are, turning the corner and heading in the right direction. Like that's the one thing where I think in other leagues there are throwaway games because there are awful teams. There's only a couple, quote unquote, awful teams in the league where you know that should be a guaranteed win. Everything else is a coin flip in the NHL.
Yeah, like that's the nature of the beast, and that I think is also a part of it. The mentality Ray spoke of, but also just the way the NHL plays out in terms
right.
of the unpredictability and the race where there's so many teams bunched together.
Yeah.
But this will be a unique season. I think we can all accept that, and we'll be expecting it, and we'll see how it all plays out. Anyway,
I got to say, guys, before I dodge here,
yep.
I just got a text from a buddy who's listening, and he's like, so he must be a little bit behind, but he said the 3 mile fart, he almost fell off the treadmill.
Well, some guy wrote in saying
it's the longest you'll ever fart in your life. First movie date, you drop off and you start waving, and it's 3 miles long.
Some guy wrote in saying he almost had a heart attack because he pulled that move and she turned around. She had forgot her purse in the front seat. She opens up the door
and her hair lit on fire.
Yes. It was Joe Pesci in Home Alone. Like,
yeah.
It was
I will scene. Drive off with your purse and bring it back tomorrow.
Yeah. Laps around the parking lot, windows open.
Put the blinders on. I didn't see you running back.
Yeah, that would be an issue, I think. Anyway.
Good stuff, boys.
All right, buddy. Yeah. We'll do it tomorrow at 5.
Yeah, have a good one.
There's Ray Ferraro, TSN hockey analyst, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. Red Tag Days continue with rates from 0% and free winter tires with every in-stock new vehicle purchase in October. MapleToyota.com. Bill Shaken from the LA Times on Game 6 tonight. World Series might wrap up. I kind of feel like it will.
You think so?
Yeah, I think the Dodgers are going to close tonight. But
we got to ask Bill this, but I would be uncomfortable knowing that there would be hats with World Series champions on them. Champagne, everything would be – that would make me uncomfortable for some reason.
Yeah,
not that
the
I never got close to that. Well, kind of, but not really. Just to think of those – I would be thinking of the hats. Like with everything on it, the champagne, like everything ready, and then –
It's announced tonight.
Isn't this true, though? Like, where they have to print those hats up, they have to print everything.
Yeah.
But then when you give them away, like, somewhere, like, there's some countries where people are wearing, like, the loser
there's
hat.
There's great video footage.
They donated
I think it's
them.
Bob Costas. I think the Red Sox against the Mets or something. And he was in the dressing room and all the plastic was up. I don't know what baseball team, but they ended up losing and everything got taken down. It was just incredible.
That has happened. That might have been Buckner in 86.
It might have been.
Yeah, because the team ops, like, they got to be prepared, right? Like,
yes.
They put up all
and
the
plastic. And they were all ready to go. Costas was in position, and then they ended up losing the game, and he had to get the hell out of there.
Yeah, that has, I'm sure, happened many times, many, many times in almost every sport.
Mm-hmm.
Where you're prepping and the trophy's in the house and it's go time. And then all of a sudden, not so fast.
No,
wait a minute.
No.
We're going to 7. And then it's almost like always the other team ends up winning.
Yeah.
And that party was right there. The party that never happened. Like, it was right
crazy.
There. It was going to be an absolute shaker. And it never took place. James Duffy in about an hour. I don't know if Duffy's going to be down at Augusta. Is he going down there? Do you guys know?
I think they're taking a bus down there.
Is that right? Okay. Yeah. So we'll get into that with him because College Game Day is going to be broadcasting live on Saturday from Augusta.
That's during the tournament?
I guess if it's early Saturday morning, the field is cut in half. I don't know when they'll probably be teeing off late morning.
I find that shocking to think that they would let that circus go in there during the – that might be this weekend leading up to the tournament.
No, dude, I'm telling you. I saw it today that they're planning on being there on the Saturday. And what I found even more interesting is that the Masters is a CBS broadcast, and this is ESPN ABC. It's rolling in onto their turf.
Yeah, I don't know.
But I guess if you're CBS, you're like, thank you for promoting the Masters.
Yeah, Grappler, you know? Get on that. We got to talk to somebody involved in that whole rodeo.
Yeah, we'll try to figure out the nuts and bolts of it, but I guess Duffy will be down there. So maybe Duffy will be kicking around College Game Day, and we'll catch up with him in about an hour. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on TSN 4. So speaking of the Masters, which is only a couple of weeks away, the Houston Open is up this weekend. Tiger is not playing in it. Tiger Woods will not be playing at the Houston Open. So,
does that shock
you? I bet our boss $20 that he will not make the cut at Augusta National.
I'm concerned. Watching him play the last two times out, really this whole season, you know. Like, it wasn't pretty at Harding Park in the PGA, and the U.S. Open was ugly last week. Like, was actually really choppy. Like, the Zozo, we were kind of goofing on it yesterday, but him and Phil...
Yeah,
we're out.
Those guys were destroying that course, Brian.
Yeah,
five par fives, three on the back nine, and this guy was a mess.
Yeah, he was like for day one, he was four over. I think he was two over on Sunday. I don't remember what he finished total for the championship, but it wasn't good. I mean, Tiger's game is not anywhere close to A-plus caliber, which is what it's going to have to be in a couple of weeks. But yeah, I wouldn't be surprised at all if he missed the cut. At all. I think he'll straddle it, but I wouldn't be surprised.
I think he's making it.
He's got nothing going. I'm shocked that he didn't grab the ass cheek last week. I thought for sure, because he looked kind of lethargic. He had no zip to him. Obviously, that comes with subpar play, but he's got nothing right now. He's not driving it well. He's had putting problems. He's got no game right now. And I thought for sure he was grabbing his ass cheek and walking off that golf course.
That's why I was hoping he'd play in Houston. Now, historically, he never has. He doesn't play the week before a major. And that would suggest he's still thinking, I'm Tiger from 2002, and I'm going to continue to operate the way I always have. But COVID has thrown everything out of whack. His body breaking down has thrown everything out of whack. The way he played this past week, I would think he'd want that out of his mind. You know, show up in Houston, play a couple of rounds, feel good, make the cut, play the weekend. But no, he's heading back to Florida, I guess, to prepare for Augusta, and he'll probably get there early, and who knows? We'll see. I'm looking forward to it, though. I can't wait for the tournament. It's going to be so strange to watch the Masters in November when courses throughout the GTA will likely be closed. You know,
dude, it's
going to
be so strange,
open,
the visuals, Brian, because every hole there – I mean, I've been there twice. It's just every hole is outlined. It's just this big, slopey, green piece of property, and the holes are all outlined by the fans. It is going to be such a weird dynamic to see that golf course with no fans.
Yeah, and the trees, right? Like the tree lines and the leaves and whether or not they're going to be on the trees or not, I don't know. I mean, it's going to be a very different view.
Do you know that Duffy, they have a lottery for the media, and Duffy put his name in a couple of years ago, and he played the course.
I know.
The Monday after the Masters. I almost threw up when I heard that.
Jerry Dees won that, too.
What?
Jerry
Dees. Really? I didn't know that.
Jerry went down there. My understanding, I might be
speaking out of school. As like a spoof interviewer guy?
Yes, when he used to work at the Score, and he went down there, I think, as Jerry Dees, the sports reporter, goofing on people. And every year they have a media draw, and they pull out whatever amount of names, four names, and Jerry's name came up. And I think, and we can reach out to him and confirm this, I think he flew home to get his clubs and flew back down.
Come on.
Yeah, because he's like, if I'm playing the Augusta, I'm playing with my clubs. Like, I want to feel good. I want to feel right. I don't blame him. I think that's a great move.
I would honestly take a private jet. Private jet to get my clubs. If that's the one...
Play- Like, is it that? Is it a feel thing that you couldn't just grab some? Like,
I just want to use my own clubs to play Augusta National. I don't want to have a built-in excuse to say I had to use some guy's garbage clubs as rentals. I want my clubs on that golf course.
Yeah, it's the most exclusive club in the world. Like, not literally, but it is for golf fans. Like, you can never get that opportunity, Noodles. And right. It's like, if you're never going to be on it again. They are never just allowing you to show up and play. So it'd be the greatest round of your life. You'll never play a greater round, ever.
No.
It'll be the greatest golfing experience of your life. You do not want to be using some guy's clubs or rented clubs or whatever. You just... You need your own sticks. You need them.
Did Duthie shoot like 110?
No, he claims he shot 86.
Come on. From where? That's the front
tee? We're going to have this guy on at 625. He claims it was easy.
What?
He played the forward tees, and he said from those tees it was like easy. It's just putty. He found putting difficult. And I believe the number he told me is 86.
We'll confirm it, deny that in about
that
an hour.
That could be fake news.
I've talked to good players that have played there, like low handicaps. They're like, I shot 75, I shot 78. They're like, it's not, I don't know if they're going all the way back, but they just said it's just right out in front of you. You just got to hit it good.
Right. Well, I guess that's kind of like any other course, but it's about the tips, right? If you're playing from the tips, like I don't think Duthie did not shoot 86 from 75.
He would shoot 135
yards.
From the tips.
Yeah, there's no way. There's just no way, and myself included. Like, I would not. But if you're playing Augusta National at 6,300 yards, then yeah, you could shoot that, right? It's a golf course. It's not like you couldn't do that. But all right, we'll get to the bottom of that. And again, College Game Day, it's going to be there because, as people have been pointing out, ESPN holds the rights for the first two rounds. CBS has Saturday and Sunday, and I guess it's kind of a cross promotion. You never get the opportunity to promote college football when the Masters is generally being played in April. So, and it's wild. Like, college football is back now. The Big Ten was back last weekend. You know, the SEC's been playing the whole time, but we've got college football. We've got NFL football. The Masters coming up.
Wasn't college football,
there was cancellations after cancellation. Season's done. You turn it on Saturday, and it's one of the weird questions I have with myself. I love NFL football. I'll plop my ass on the couch and watch it all Sunday. But for some reason, college football, I just can't get into it. I do not know why.
Yeah, I'm not.
Just lack of knowledge of the teams.
Yeah, you don't know the players. Exactly. No, you don't have a connection to a team and you don't know the players. No. I'm with you. Yeah. I'm barely into college football compared to the NFL.
I just like the atmosphere. Like, I would love to be there. Like, say you went to a school and you know, everything's about that football team.
Right.
The tailgate and the parties. Like, I've been watching a little bit, and the bands are still in the stands.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're spaced, and they're wearing masks, and the cheerleaders and the cheerleading squad or whatever is out there. Like, just not jam with fans, though, correct?
No, it's not. And that is the amazing thing about, like, the Big House in Michigan. They got 110,000 people in there. And every game, there's 110,000 people. Like, they are playing Appalachian State, and it's packed, you know.
Yeah.
And then if Ohio State's coming in that year, it's just bedlam. But I always wish that we had that up here in some fashion, and we just don't. We have no connection to university sports up here. And even just, you know, our civic pride in our universities. People, if you go to U of T, York, Western, Queens, Guelph, whatever it is, you've got a connection to it, and I'm sure you love the school, but you don't connect for life the way Americans seem to with their alma maters, you know, and their colleges. It's just, it doesn't happen. And I understand the sports is not nearly as promoted. It's not nearly as, you know, professional in nature, and it's not the cream of the crop. The best collegiate athletes are down in the States, you know, like that even all any Canadian that's a great athlete that wants to go the college route, you're getting a scholarship option from somewhere in the States and you're going down there.
But at the high school level, like it's football's huge. Like, I went to high school in my first year in grade 10 in Spokane, Washington. Like, and I remember, like, the, I was in class and they're like, okay, everyone to the gymnasium. It's a pep rally.
Right.
So I was walking out the door. I'm like, I'm not going to that. Like in high school back home in St. Albert, I'm like, nobody did a pep rally. I was
no
walking out
rallies.
The door. The principal, they locked the door. They're like, you have to go in and go to the pep rally. I was sitting there and they were, each class was like sitting together chanting their year. Like,
really?
You know, I was like in, I think I'm dating myself here, but it was like late 80s, 89, 90, 91. Like it was 89. You're sitting there chanting 89, 89, 80, 89. I'm like, what the hell is going on?
What's the point of that chant?
I don't know. The cheerleaders are running around. The football players are you know, getting all pumped up and jacked up. Like I was just sitting there. I thought it was like 11 o'clock in the morning. I just wanted to go home for lunch, and then they're blocking the doors. Like the pep rally was mandatory for the school.
That doesn't seem legal at all, that you can imprison people for the pep rally.
No.
But pep rallies don't exist up here, man. That term doesn't even resonate in our country. Pep rally means nothing.
Mm-hmm. Hayes, I have some confirmation from Jerry D regarding his clubs.
Yeah.
He did not fly back to get his clubs. He flew home, but flew back to Augusta once his name was drawn.
Oh, so he had come home thinking
and
the job's done.
He said he shot 125 at Augusta National.
Come on.
Yeah.
He's a good player,
and he's
Jerry.
a good golfer, yeah.
I don't know what happened with
so
that.
Duffy didn't shoot Duffy's 86.
Yeah. We got to ask Duffy, but that's what Jerry just texted me.
All right. Well, there you go. Okay, my bad. I guess there was a broken telephone there. That makes sense that he was already home. So he obviously brought his own clubs, clearly.
Yeah. But I guarantee you, he would have flown back to get his clubs.
You have to have your own clubs. You have to. If you're playing Augusta, and I don't care if you have a three-hour turnaround, you got to find a way to get those down there.
Yeah.
All right, so Duffy coming up in about 45. Bill Shakin from the LA Times on Game 6 of the World Series tonight. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on the TSN app. All right, Bill Shakin of the LA Times in about 15 minutes, Game 6 of the World Series tonight. And Duffy will join us in about 40 minutes. And we'll get the update on what he shot at Augusta National. And we've got that audio from the Walmart mishap and the newscast. And we'll get to that in just a moment here. I guess we'd kind of have to regroup and let everyone know what we were talking about earlier, because we were way off the rails like an hour ago.
Yeah, we really went down a road we shouldn't have been going down.
I just came out of the office and went into the kitchen, and my three-year-old's like, Daddy, why were you laughing so hard? Because they have it on in there. I was like, You'll find out
when you move in with someone, little buddy.
Yeah, it was very funny. Very funny.
Wait till you see what happens when you get older. You will have these experiences. So we'll get to that into the 6 p.m. hour. We should point out, obviously a lot of people in the hockey world and certainly in Edmonton were having a tough time, the passing of Joey Moss last night. Yeah. And Noodles, I'm sure you've met Joey a million times.
I worked with him.
Yeah,
with Edmonton, right, with the
Eskimos. And
yeah, I was the assistant, I guess, laundry boy for the Edmonton Eskimos for 2 weeks every year during training camp, and I worked with Joey. Like, Joey and I would, work together to pick up the laundry, take it back to Commonwealth Stadium and do it, and do that twice a day during training camp. They would do two a days.
He was a celebrity. I remember meeting him, and I'm like, this is Wayne Gretzky's buddy. I'm like, this is Joey Moss from the Oilers. He is a celebrity.
Yeah, it's honestly one of the most incredible kind of journeys. And I remember hearing about him as a kid. He never played for the team, obviously, but he was always with the Oilers and with the football team. And Gretzky and the boys always had him out. He was always behind the bench for the anthem, or it felt like it.
And Gretzky's first wife, I believe, her girlfriend, I think he married Vicky Moss, but it was Joey's sister, Vicky Moss.
Okay. And then, I didn't know that connection. Okay.
Yeah, like that,
I believe. I didn't know that either.
Yeah, Gretzky either dated or married. I can't remember, and don't, quote me or whatever, but I just know that Joey's sister, Vicky, was Gretzky's, girlfriend or fiance. I can't remember.
Okay.
But, and Gretzky always stayed very... Yeah, he was always tied to Wayne, but fantastic person, an inspiration. That's legitimately what it was. He was a guy that always had a smile on his face and a comment. Pretty funny guy, quick witted, and like I say, he was a fixture with the Oilers and with the Eskimos. And I hope they do something special for him moving forward.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think they will. I mean, you see the amount of people pouring out, you know, stories. Legend. And and you know, if you're not familiar with Joey Moss, he was close with Gretzky, and he had Down syndrome, and but he worked for the teams, and he was always around the teams, and he was
worked
a guy,
hard. Like he was like a guy who was a fixture in the room, and like the trainers always had him because he had his role. And yeah, you're right, Brian. Like it's a great story, but it's also, I believe they play a mini camp at training camp, and it's called the Joey Moss Cup anyways,
right?
Like when they play inter squad and stuff. But I saw Strutty tweeting that, like, Joey's favorite song, that might be their song moving forward in Edmonton. And, you know, I think they'll do a real nice tribute to him because he legitimately loved the Eskimos and the Oilers.
Yeah, he was as synonymous with that team, teams as anyone. It's just wild. Like, he never played a game, but was around the teams for 30-plus years.
Yeah.
And was always there. And obviously a lot of people are speaking of his memory, and that was pretty shocking. I you know, it's not like it's something I'm tracking closely, but when I saw the news, I was like, wow, I wasn't, you know, expecting to hear that, clearly. Final hour coming up. James Duthie will get to Game 6 of the World Series with Bill Shaken from the LA Times. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on the TSN app.
Alpine Credits.
Yes, it's your English teacher, Mrs. Nelson.
Uh-oh.
You've been using the word approved quite a lot lately.
True, but...
You know there are alternatives like accepted, authorized, confirmed, validated. Let's try. I own my home and would like a loan.
Accepted-ated.
Alpine Credits, where homeowners get endorsed, confirmed, permitted, allowed, okayed, and approved. Some conditions apply. Alpine Credits.
FSRA License 12616.
This hour was brought to you by Alpine Credits. Do you own your home and need a loan? Alpine Credits can help. Visit alpinecredits.ca to learn more.